Welcome once again, hockey fans, to another edition of This Week in Wisconsin Prep Hockey. I'm your host, MJ Hammett. Along with me, Michael Terzinski, Del Scanlon, Bill Berg, and Bill Berg Jr. A couple games we were able to get to this week. I was able to get to two of them. Got to go see Madison West pick up their first win of the season over Janesville in a 4-2 game. A game where Janesville just didn't match the intensity of Madison West, who came out very hungry in this game and was able to stay ahead the whole game and finally were able to get the 4-2 win. Janesville made it close and got a power play goal late in the game, but Madison West was still able to hold on to win that game 4-2 in Janesville and get their first win of the season. Friday night made the trip over to Nagawaki Ice to watch Kettle Moraine, Mokwanago, Oconomowoc, also known as KMMO, take on Kenosha. The Thunder came to visit, and KMMO hasn't scored many goals all season. In fact, they've really struggled at it, graduating 85% of their goal scoring last year. But on this game, they scored just enough. 14 shots, they got 3 goals. They were outshot 35-14 in this game and were able to get ride the goaltending of Paul McLean, who was fantastic that night, to get a 3-2 win in Classic 8 play over the Kenosha Thunder. So a big win for KMMO, and those were the games I was at. Bill Berg was at Hudson and Wausau West, which I'm sure was a top 10 game, and it was probably a pretty good one. And Bergler, go ahead and tell us about it.
Thanks, MJ. The crew and I went over to Marathon Park on Saturday to watch the then top-rated Hudson Raiders take on the number 4-rated Wausau West Warriors. And it was a good game, up and down the ice, back and forth. Big difference in the game is West defensively just did not let Hudson get to the net. The shots that Hudson put on were from the outside. There were no rebound attempts. Everything was cleared. Wausau West just did a nice job. West really out-hustled Hudson in the first period. Perhaps a little, you know, bus legs for Hudson. They're a little slow coming out in the first period. West scored a goal in the first. Outshot them by a bunch. Shots were a little closer in the second period, but West, you know, scored another goal, and they were up 2-0 after two periods. And in traditional Wausau West fashion, I've said it for years, nobody sits on a two-goal lead like Wausau West does in the third period. Hudson outshot them in the third period, but again, everything was from the outside. There were no rebounds. There were no deflections. They keep the front of the net very clean at Wausau West. 3-0 win, empty net goal with 4.4 seconds left on the clock, and West comes out with the win and kind of shakes up the top 10, and that's how it went in Wausau. Back to you, MJ.
More to come about the top 10 shakeup. We'll give you that in a little bit. Right now it's time for our Players of the Week, the Radisson Madison Players of the Week, Madison's premier Westside Hotel. And Del Scanlon, you got girls and boys who are winners this week. Del?
Thanks, MJ. We do have the Radisson-Madison Players of the Week, and the girls' Player of the Week, Hudson actually made a change coming into the week where they moved one of their players from playing primary defense up to forward, and it paid dividends as Anna Wilgren, a sophomore from Hudson, moves up to play forward, and on December 15th, she scored 3 goals in a 9-3 loss to Chaska Chanhassen, Minnesota. On December 18th, she had 1 goal in a 2-2 tie versus Bay Area Ice Bears. And then on December 19th, she had 2 goals, 1 assist, and a 5-0 win over Fox Cities. On the boys' side, Tanner Rainey, goalie, freshman of Wisconsin Rapids, picks up the award for Player of the Week with 2 shutouts. On December 15th, he had 7 saves in 44 minutes in a 4-0 win over Marshfield. And then on December 17th, against Spash in a 2-0 win, he posted 40 saves to become the boys' Player of the Week. And this was Radisson-Madison's Players of the Week with Anna Wilgren from Hudson for the girls, and Tanner Rainey for the boys. And back to you, MJ.
Thanks, Del. And our games of the week had the girls, Eau Claire Altoona, taking on the Point Rapids Marshfield Red Panthers, and Trasher was at that. Michael, what did you see?
Well, I saw a pretty interesting game, MJ. ECA traveled to KB Willard and Point to take on the Point Rapids Marshfield Red Panthers. And the way it started out, it looked like it was going to be ECA all the way. They scored a goal in the first minute, made it 2-0 4 minutes later, but then Point Rapids Marshfield came right back and scored two in a minute and a half to tie it before ECA scored a goal in the middle of the first period and took a 3-2 lead, and they never trailed after that. Abigail Stowe scored three goals in the last two periods to give ECA a 6-2 victory. It was a good game for ECA. They came back after a tough 8-0 loss to Central Wisconsin Storm on Monday, and they got their confidence back a little bit. And for Point Rapids Marshfield, you got to see some of their young talent play. They have some good skaters. The goalies are a little bit bluey or a little bit rusty yet, but they've had limited playing time. One goalie has played, I think, 9 games in her career, and the other goalie has not played before this year. So ECA Stars 6, Point Rapids Marshfield 2, and that was the girls' game of the week. And with the boys' game of the week, I'll send it over to Burglar.
Thanks, Trasher. I didn't have to go far for the boys' game of the week, about 4 blocks from my house over to the Langlade County Ice Arena. Northland Pines was down to play Antigo. Northland Pines looked like the last team that might give Antigo a shot for the Great Northern Conference crown. Not really sure about Mosinee yet, but Northland Pines looked like the last shot to upset Antigo. And Northland Pines actually got on the board first, a power play goal in the first period. Put Northland Pines on top, but this Antigo team, they are just nonstop hustle. They roll their three lines. They've got depth, and they just keep attacking. They outshot Northland Pines by a bunch, 19-5 in the first period. Goals were 1-1 in the first period, but they outshot them by a bunch. But Northland Pines did a very good job defensively, not letting Antigo get in too close. Most of those shots came from the outside. When Antigo would crash the net to try to get rebounds, they might get a stick on the rebound, but they could not get clean shots at him. And when they did, the Northland Pines goaltender, Ethan Polich, made the stop. But he played a nice game. Their defense played a very good game. But Antigo just kept attacking and attacking. Second period, Antigo shot him 14-0, but neither team managed to score. It wasn't until late in the third period where I think Antigo finally wore them down, because they finally started getting some guys open in front of the net. A shot from the point where they had C.J. Levis in front all alone, able to get a nice, clean deflection that beat Polich. And then the last goal of the game was a rebound, a clean rebound where Adam Schmidt had, you know, time and space in front of the net to get the rebound. Those things weren't open early in the game. But I think the speed and the aggressiveness of Antigo just wore Northland Pines down, their defense down. So Antigo was able to get those opportunities late in the game that weren't there early. Just a very deep, talented Antigo team. Fun team to watch, for me anyway. I haven't seen this in a while. It's a very exciting team. Alex Nagel got some points in that game. He missed the start of this, or missed most of training camp and early on because he broke his ankle in football, but he's starting to get his legs back, and that's bad news for the other hockey teams in the state when Alex Nagel gets his game going. And that was it from Antigo, and back to you for the top 10, or whatever you have next, MJ.
Oh, we got the top 10, and Bill Jr. says there was a little bit of a shakeup in it, and he's going to prove us that he meant it. Because there is a shakeup in the top 10. And Junior, Go ahead and spill it all out.
Thanks, MJ. For the third week in a row, three teams got first place votes on the boys' side of the top 10. The top three are Appleton United, their first time at number one in a while. Second is Wausau West, and third is Middleton. Fourth is Anago, fifth is Hudson, sixth is Eau Claire Memorial, seventh is Onalaska, eighth is Notre Dame, ninth is Wisconsin Rapid, and tenth is De Pere. Honorable mention for the boys are Bayport, Nenemanasha Hortonville, Stevens Point, and the University School of Milwaukee. On the girls' side, another week where three teams got first place votes. That's fairly common on the boys' side. It's almost unheard of on the girls' side. 1, 2, and 3 for the girls are the University School of Milwaukee, the Bay Area Ice Bears, and the Central Wisconsin Storm. Fourth is Hayward Spooner, fifth is St. Croix Valley, sixth is Fond du Lac, seventh is the Fox City Stars, eighth is Hudson, ninth is Eau Claire Altoona, and tenth is Northland Pines. Honorable mention for the girls are the Metro Lynx and Rock County Fury.
I guess we shouldn't, we shouldn't be surprised to see Appleton United up there. I recall at the end of the season watching their, especially their playoff run and their trip down to the state tournament, that Appleton United is strong and deep, and as fast as they were, they did not have seniors in those key positions. Most of their scoring and their talent was in underclassmen. So they're all, I mean, basically the team we were, the guys we were impressed with from Appleton United last year are back this year and making their presence known.
You know, every now and then with a Wisconsin player at the start of the season, you hear about, you know, every now and then on the NHL preseason scouting list, you might have one Wisconsin player on the list. If it's a really fantastic year, maybe two. But usually, if there's going to be any, it's going to be one. And you'll have, as we're going to talk about later, one Wisconsin high school hockey player is invited to play with the U.S. National U-17 team. You know, one player. And Appleton United has one of those guys in Trenton Bliss. He was on the American Family Insurance preseason All-USA team, the only Wisconsin player on that team. So, you know, every now and then in Wisconsin, you get, you know, across, you know, various different national rankings and things, maybe two or three or three or four guys who are on one of those lists, and Appleton United this year happens to have one of those guys. Back to you, MJ.
Okay, thank you very much there, Junior. Our upcoming games of the week have Waupaca taking on the Central Wisconsin Storm and Girls action on Tuesday. And in the boys, Tuesday, Wausau West and Spash in a Wisconsin Valley Conference matchup. Those two teams, no love lost between them, and we will have reports on both those games.
And while MJ is out with his technical difficulties, let's get to our last piece of business, which has to do with another exceptional hockey player who's been recognized at a national level, and that would be Ty Emberson from Eau Claire Memorial, a defenseman who has an opportunity to play for the USA Hockey. I guess it would be the U-16 team in the Youth Olympics in Lillehammer, Norway, coming up in February, mid-February. And the problem seems to be that the WIAA, in their infinite wisdom, says if he goes over to play there and is not back in time for the start of the WIAA playoffs, then he can't rejoin Eau Claire Memorial when he gets back. And some of us, well, all of us, and most of the rest of Wisconsin hockey community thinks there's a problem with that. Any thoughts, guys?
Absolutely. This, as I wrote in an editorial, this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for young Mr. Emberson, who is a sophomore defenseman for the Old Abes, as Bergler had mentioned, to get selected for the Youth Olympic Games over in Norway. This is a great opportunity for him. It's really a feather in the cap for Wisconsin hockey because we can always say, hey, we had a kid that played in the Youth Olympic Games. It should be a no-brainer, really, for the WIAA just to modify their ruling or make an amendment to give him a waiver for this. It's a one-shot deal. He's not hurting the team. It's not like he's trying to go and better himself for, you know, future years, like in the junior ranks. He's not playing for a junior team. He's playing for an Olympic team. I think the WIAA really needs to take a better look at this, a closer look, and make the right decision. And that's kind of where I'm at, guys.
Well, one of the things that gets me is we're always talking, you know, that we need to grow hockey. And, you know, the WIAA for years has told us we have to have so many teams before we can break into, you know, two divisions or whatever else. Well, one of the best ways to grow any sport is to have a thing where a player is being recognized. And when you have a player from Wisconsin, you know, being able to get recognized and making the junior Olympic team, it just, to me, makes sense. It helps make the sport grow. And to me, there's no reason for him not to have a waiver to play this in this atmosphere.
Yeah, I got a couple of problems with this. And the first one is just one of the battles that Wisconsin high school hockey coaches have to go through is the whole business of midget AAA teams. We're sandwiched in between Minnesota on our left and Michigan on our right. Minnesota basically runs a high school hockey model where all of their players pretty much play for a high school team. They have freedom to move around a little bit, but they play high school hockey. And in Michigan, all the top players, most of the top players go to these midget AAA teams, these elite teams, and they all play in their own little league and stuff, and they get scouted and all that. And there are a couple of those teams over here in Wisconsin, and they're trying to draw the players. Teams from Chicago are trying to draw players from the South. And, you know, it's hard for the coaches to hang on to those players, you know, and keep them playing here and tell them you're going to have the same opportunities if you play for your high school. And if I went and looked, and in fact, I'm looking right now at the roster of this team, this the U.S. Youth Olympic Boys team, and it is full of these players from these junior teams, Chicago Mission, Little Caesars, Honey Baked, a couple of the Michigan teams, another Honey Baked, Oakland, and the other ones that are high schools, yeah, not if you're going to call them a high school, they're more like, you know, hockey factory schools, Shattuck St. Mary's Prep, a couple of other East Coast prep teams. I think there's even a Culver's Academy down there. I mean, the only true normal community high school player in this group is Ty Emberson. And you know what? Out of the 20-person roster, he's the only one that is going to have problems coming back to his team after this tournament is over. All other 19 players on that team are going to be welcomed back with open arms to their teams after this Olympic event over in Norway is done. Ty Emberson, the only one who is in a normal high school situation, is the only one that's not going to be able to come back to his team. And that is wrong.
So we've gotten a lot of response from the editorial that's on WIPH on the front page, aptly named Let Ty Play. There's the stories have been transferred over to Facebook as well, and probably on Twitter and God knows what other social media we can hook up to. And I have not heard or seen a person yet say, oh, WIAA is making the right decision. Everybody's indignant about it, angry about it, think that the WIAA really needs to take a closer look at this and make what is deemed by 99.9% of the people the right decision. So there's a lot of people out there that are kind of uptight about this, indignant. They're not happy. They think it should be a no-brainer, but the organization that rules our sport over in Stevens Point think differently. And I really think that they need to take another look to swallow their pride, as it were, if that needs to be done, and just say, hey, this would be the right thing to do. We don't need to follow strictly by the rules, black and white, every time we make a decision. This is one time where we really need to look outside the box and make the right choice for not only Ty, but for Wisconsin hockey guys.
Well, the problem is that the WIAA doesn't make a decision. They wrote this rule whenever they wrote it, however many years ago, and now they've decided that they don't have to make decisions anymore. This is the rule, so if something comes up, they just point to it and say, nope, that's how it is, and you're done. They don't make decisions. They don't review things. It's just they point at the rule and say, nope, this is what it is, and that's your that you have no recourse. You can appeal, but how many times have we heard people appeal things to the WIAA over the years? All kinds of different things. You know, even when I was in high school, there was a girl who wanted to play on her boys' team. She appealed. I think they ended up even going to court. She lost. WIAA pointed to the rule because her high school had a girls' team. She played girls' hockey. You know, there's every couple of years, different sports, hockey, other stuff. People make appeals to the WIAA, and it never seems to do anything. They just point back at the rule book and say, no, that's how it is. They don't make decisions. They made the decision when they wrote the rule book, and now they just collect the money from the tournament at the end of the year? I don't know.
And Bill, that leads me to my second point, which has to do with the WIAA itself. I'm going to, just to follow up on what you said, looking at the WIAA's own website, their charter, it says the WIAA is governed by its member schools. That's in their bio, governed by its member schools. Therefore, ownership of the membership's rules and regulations, as well as the responsibility of compliance with them, lies with each member school. They claim that the schools have control of this, but once, like you said, once the rule is written, then whatever the schools say doesn't matter anymore. And getting back to your point of, you know, once the rule is written, then that's all you just point to the rule. In the real world, that doesn't work. I was in sales long enough. I worked retail. I worked other businesses. You cannot tell a client or a customer, I'm sorry, I can't do that. Why not? Well, that's our policy. You can't just point to the rule book and say, that's our policy. We can't do that. That doesn't cut it in the real world. You try that in business, you will lose every customer you thought you ever had. You cannot point at a rule and say, that's our policy. I'm sorry, there's nothing I can do about it. There is always something you can do about it. You can do the right thing. You can't just point at a rule, wave your hand, say, I'm sorry, that's the rule, case closed. It's not closed. We're going to open it. We're gonna try to see how many people we can get to agree with us on this. We are starting a petition on change.org to let Ty play. We're going to try to promote the heck out of this through whatever social media outlets we have to and see how far this can spread and see how many thousands of people we can get to sign this petition to send to Tom Schifransky and the WIAA to do the right thing and let this kid play for his country, for Christ's sake, and then come back and play for his high school team. Just do it. Let him go. Let him go and play, and let him come back and play. It's a stupid rule. I'm done for now.
Burglar, you sound pretty passionate about this.
Well, yeah. You can't just hide behind a rule, like Bill said. You can't. I mean, what's the reason? I mean, who is this going to hurt? It's going to help his high school team keep kids in the long run. It's going to help Wisconsin high school hockey keep kids in the long run. They're actually going to make it worse for Wisconsin high school hockey to deny him the opportunity to come back and play. It's going to give one more tool for the AAA teams to use to say, well, yeah, you can't do any of this stuff because then you can't go back and play for high school again. This rule is actually hurting high school hockey, or this application of the rule is actually hurting high school hockey in this case. And they don't want to see that.
Well, guys, I think there's no question about what side we're on here. So at some point in the very near future, we'll have some information out and go sign the petition. Basically, what it comes down to is let Ty play. Guys?
I guess that's probably enough of my ranting for tonight. Come back to the site. I'll get that petition. I'll get the information up there as soon as I can. Spread the word. This is not right. This needs to be remedied, and it needs to be remedied quickly. This young man has to make a decision soon, and he shouldn't have to make a decision soon. He should be able to go and play and come back and play in the tournament. Look for it. Once we have it up there, once you have the link, spread it on Facebook, spread it on Twitter. Get it out there, whoever you can. Get as many signatures as we can to tell the WIAA and Tom Szafranski to do the right thing. And with that, we'll let you go about your business. That's it for Dell, Bill Jr., Trasher, MJ, who's still fighting the good fight with his headset, and myself. And we'll be back again next week on This Week in Wisconsin Prep Hockey.